Good evening and welcome to Cajun Talk, a public affairs presentation of KJN. I'm your host, Tiffany Babineau. Tonight, our guest is Neil Bertrand. He's joining us to talk about his new book, Dad's War Photos. Neil lives in Lafayette, and he's joining us today to talk about his new book and his father, Charles Curtis Bertrand. He served in the Army in the Pacific in World War II during this time of duty. Not only had he taken hundreds of pictures of the locations he was posted, but also wrote detailed notes, and his son will tell us more about that in remembrance of D-Day on June the 6th. Welcome to the program, Neil.
Hi, Tiffany. Thank you for having me.
Congratulations on your new book.
Oh, thank you very much.
Wow, it must have brought back memories to see all those photos of Dad.
Oh, many memories. A lifelong time of having these books in the house and looking at them.
Well, how did you get started? What brought you to that place to where you say, you know what, I'm going to make a book?
This, I was thinking of, I had made a promise to my dad. Mm-hmm. Daddy brought back a Japanese war rifle and bayonet from the Philippines. And he asked me right before he died if I could, you know, take care of his rifle for him. And I said, well, I will. And so I was thinking of what I could do, how to display it in the house. And I said, well, you know what? I have all these photos. And why don't I Photoshop all these photos, you know, and put them in a book? That way I'm going a step further, not only just his rifle, but all of the, you know, I have 420 of his photos in this book.
420?
That's right.
And you guys have looked at this throughout the years.
I grew up with them. They were in the cedar chest in the hall, and every now and then we'd say, Daddy, can we look at your war pictures? And he'd take out the albums and we'd go through them.
Did he like that?
Oh, yeah, he liked that.
He liked that.
Whenever I had a question, Daddy, what's going on right here? He'd tell me.
That's good. That's good that you thought to ask those questions and remember to carry it on.
It's amazing. At my advanced age, that I was able to remember all of the things that he told me about these pictures.
Now, Neil, you trace your father's steps from home, I believe, to boot camp and beyond. Tell us about that.
Yeah, he grew up on a farm in St. Landry Parish near Lautel, and he wrote captions on the back of the pictures, and using the pictures and the captions, plus the official battalion diary, I was able to create a timeline and put everything in order where he went. Like first it was, boot camp in Missouri, then training camp near Spokane, Washington, San Francisco, Australia, New Guinea, Philippines, and all. And so when we took him out of the photo albums to scan them, they were all jumbled up. There was no order at all. And so it was a major project to even sort them out by country, not, you know, then by month. So I traced everything on a month-by-month basis to enable the people to see his whole travels. Plus, I included 21 maps in the book to show you, okay, well, here he is in Australia, then Biak and the Philippines and so on and so forth.
Yeah. I like the fact that he was so detailed in describing where he was, the names, the locations, and, you know, the time of each photo.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
So that was...
That's what a historian does. And
yeah,
does
well, you know, he didn't realize he was a photojournalist, but in effect, that's what he was.
He was. Now, let's talk about some of the photos. You actually have some artifacts here with you today.
I brought some artifacts. I have one of his ribbons that he earned. It's a military ribbon.
Let's talk about that.
Well, he was awarded three medals, mm-hmm. and each medal comes with a ribbon. And this one here, he won this medal here is the Good Conduct Medal. He also has the Asiatic Pacific Medal and the Philippines Liberation Medal. And each of those medals had a ribbon. And this is one of the ribbons that belongs to one of those medals.
Wow. How did the family preserve that throughout the years?
Just in a drawer.
In a drawer.
Yeah. And after he died, we were going through all his stuff. And my sister, you know, says, well, I don't want him. So here, you take him. So I took control of all of the photos and the artifacts. And this here, when he was in New Guinea, One of the natives gave him this armband, and this is made out of vegetation. They take and then cut it into thin strips and weave it into this armband.
Can I feel that?
And they would, in 1940-ish, around, he was there in 1943, created that out of vegetation.
Wow, that's amazing.
And to sew all this together to make it into a loop, that's just mind-boggling to me.
Well, I got an opportunity to look at your book, and there's so many amazing photos. There's pictures of money in there from different countries.
Right.
And then just different photos that just share where your dad was and some of the people that he encountered. Let's talk about some of those.
Well, you see, when the Japanese took control of the Philippines, they had control of the Philippines probably 3 years, and they created their own money for the Filipinos to use. And I was told a couple of years ago that the Filipinos call this Mickey Mouse money because the actual bill was only like 2 inches wide. It kind of looks like Monopoly money. So I have pictures of that in the book. I have a picture here of Dad's Japanese rifle and bayonet, a beer label that he took off a bottle while he was in the Philippines, and some Japanese stamps that I have here. So it's some interesting stuff.
What are some other stories your dad has shared with you?
Well, that was one of an atrocity that he experienced the Japanese had committed. And I was very young and very impressionable, and that never left my mind. When the Japanese were in Manila, they massacred 100,000 civilians. And so that was part of the atrocity that he relayed to me. But also when he was in New Guinea, he was with the 863rd Engineer Aviation Battalion, and their job was to go into the jungle or the wilderness and create airstrips out of nothing. Either a mud field. I have a picture of a mud field in Sador, New Guinea, and they had to bring in gravel and rock and whatever to create the airstrips. And Dad was in charge of keeping the heavy equipment going. He greased and changed the oil so that the graders, bulldozers, and all those heavy equipment could operate, because you don't want those to freeze up or go out of commission right in your when you're doing your job and there's snipers on the hill shooting at you, which actually happened on the island of Biak.
I was going to ask that. Was there ever a time when he was ever in any real danger?
Well, let me tell you this. When they were in Dobadura, New Guinea, when they had first arrived, the Japanese were still active in the area. And there was an invasion. The Japanese had flown over, and the anti-aircraft guns started firing and knocking off pieces of the airplanes. And when they were sleeping in the tents, there was two men to a tent. So my dad had a buddy, and their bunks were only like 3 feet apart under this tent. And a piece of hunk of metal just came right down through the top of the tent and landed right between their two beds. And so they both escaped death by this huge piece of metal. And
what
so
kept
that's
him during that time? What was his faith at that time?
He believed in God.
He talked about his spiritual life on the battlefield a lot.
What I heard was that there's no such thing as an atheist in a foxhole. You praying to God to keep you alive.
Yeah. And obviously God brought him back when so many men did not.
That's
come
right.
Back.
Another event, Tiffany, is that he said when he was the Japanese had were shooting at them, and he had to run for cover. And as he was running, he noticed later that a bullet had gone through his pants leg, barely missing his leg, which could have broken his leg.
The grace of God.
Oh, it's just the grace of God all over
him. As a young boy, Neil, I'm reading in your book, you said, I often imagine what it was like for my dad to be in the South Pacific during World War II. I had so many questions. What did he do? Where did he go? What was it like being away from home for for so long. Was he at war at the time when you were born?
He came back from the war in 1945. Okay. I wasn't born until 52. Which makes me 62 and 3/4 right now. So, one of the things that amazed me was just the fear, the level of fear and anxiety mm-hmm. that him and his buddies had to endure. When you're on a ship and you're going through enemy waters, there could be a Japanese submarine that could shoot a torpedo and sink your whole ship. And the threat of enemy air raids coming at any point to bomb. And there's stories in the book of an air raid that came and they dropped a bomb and destroyed a bunch of stuff. And so it's just the ever-present anxiety and fear. It's like, oh, God, I don't want to die. You know, that type of thing.
Right. One of the things I think people will like about your book is that it's in chronological order.
Yes.
You know, it tells a story.
It does.
Yeah, it keeps you interested.
And one of the things that I wanted to do was make it educational. Mm-hmm. So if you'll notice at the beginning of every chapter, I have a section called Elsewhere in the War. So we know Dad was in the South Pacific, mm-hmm. but what was happening in Europe? What was happening in India and Burma? Mm-hmm. And so every time that there's a major battle, that is listed the day of the battle and the month so that people can say, oh, I want to find out more about Guadalcanal. Well, they can just go Google it online and read everything they want to learn about Guadalcanal or any of these other battles.
Right. So what are people saying about this book that have read it already?
They're just amazed. Yeah. They are amazed that, wow, look at this. I can't believe this. So I'm getting a lot of great feedback.
All right. And where can we pick up a copy of your book and how soon?
You can pick it up at Barnes & Noble and other select locations around South Louisiana. You can go to my website. If you want an autographed copy, you can go to dadswarphotos.com and order one there, and I will mail you out one personally, and I'll autograph it for you.
Pick up a book today. What would you like to say about your book, and what would your father say most of all?
My daddy would be thrilled. He would be so thrilled. I just wish he'd still be alive to see all his pictures in there. So, he would be absolutely thrilled to see what I did for him.
All right. Once again, how can our listeners get in touch with you?
They can call me on my toll-free number, 888-606-3257, and dadswarphotos.com. And the book is also available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
Once again, our guest has been Neil Bertrand. He joined us today to talk about his new book, Dad's War Photos, of his father. Charles Curtis Bertrand served in the Army in the Pacific in World War II. During his time of duty, not only had he taken hundreds of pictures of the locations he had posted, but he also wrote detailed notes describing what was going on at the time of each photos. And the photos set for decades in a set of a large photo album kept in a cedar chest, he said, in the hallway of his childhood home. And now he's bringing it to our table so that we may read and share. And thank you for sharing.
Well, thank you, Tiffany. You
know, this history with us. We appreciate you so much.
Well, you know, this whole book is a memorial to my dad, to honor my father. Like the Bible says, honor your father and your mother. Mm-hmm. So this was a tribute to honor my father for all the things that he went through. So it's important to, what I would like to say is, if you have old photos, make sure that each photo has a caption on the back so you'll know who that is, or who your sons and you know, your grandchildren will know. Well, who is that person? You may know, but they won't know in 40, 50 years from now.
That's right.
So it's important to do that for your posterity, to leave a legacy of who these important people are in photos, and to honor our veterans. They have put their lives on the line for us, so we need to honor them in that way.
All right. Well, thank you for, again, stopping in and sharing your story. God bless this book, and may be a blessing to many families for years to come.
Well, thank you so much, Tiffany.
Absolutely. This has been Cajun Talk, a public affairs presentation of KJN. This program has been pre-recorded.